This is Morning in Meetings, written by Winter of Our Discontent, and read by Tipsy Kitty. Of all the insults that had been hurled at Steed Bonnet over the years, one of the few that had not been, soulless, would have been a rare instance of accuracy on the part of his tormentors. But for better or worse, usually worse, their accuracy was confined to their throwing arms. Of course, Steed didn't actually view the term as an insult. It was just a fact of his existence. He had blonde hair, excellent taste in waistcoats, if he did say so himself, and no soul. When Steed's father, from whom he had inherited the trait, had first informed him of this fact during his childhood, by letter, as was their most common mode of interaction, it had been with the expectation that Steed would, as his father before him had done, work to overcome this lack with rigorous study of the appropriate Greek and Roman philosophers. His father being especially fond of the wisdom of the Stoics, lest his lack of soul translate into a lack of morals or principles. Steed had instead decided to avail himself of the wisdom of the arts, which had left him, thanks to his other, potentially more useful, inheritance from his father, a substantial bank account, with an extensive library and an even more extensive wardrobe, a wardrobe he was currently unable to access, as he was complaining to his dear friend Lucius, Lord Spriggs, over midnight tea. The gray does wash you out, Lucius agreed, though not nearly as badly as the black did. How much longer will you have to wear it?
Just one more fortnight, Steed said with a sigh as he set down his cup of the extremely good Assam that Lucius kept on hand for him. A year and a half of black, then another 6 of gray, in memory of a man who literally couldn't bear to be in the same room as me. Do you know, last night I dreamt of a marigold waistcoat. Once this mourning period is finally ended, I plan to burn every gray and black wardrobe item I possess. I'm now entirely out of parents, and given that I'm an only child, a confirmed bachelor, and my closest friend is immortal, I can hardly expect that another obligation to wear mourning weeds will present itself. Lucius, as a vampire, was one of the handful of beings privy to Steed's status as soulless. Knowledge of the soulless, more properly known as the preternatural, was kept from the general populace, in contrast to the extremely public supernatural existence of vampires, werewolves, and ghosts. Even Steed's mother hadn't known that both her husband and son were preternatural, though that might have had more to do with his father than with state secrets. Well, even confirmed bachelors can get lonely, and don't try to tell me you're not. You need to find yourself a nice boy or 8, Lucius said. Are you sure I can't send one of mine home with you to keep you company for a few days? Fang is an absolute sweetheart.
Oh, no, Steed replied, trying not to sound as alarmed by the offer as he actually was. I'd hate to deprive you of any of your companions. What if you get unexpectedly peckish? Besides, I have an appointment in Whitehall tomorrow evening to prepare for.
Steed Alexandrina Victoria Bonnet, Lucius said, immediately distracted by the prospect of new gossip. Why didn't you mention that earlier? What sort of business have you got with the British government? Have you been getting into mischief?
More father's affairs, I'm afraid, Steed said, sighing. Though that's as much as I know, given his reluctance to tell me anything. The man was as tight-lipped as he was tight-fisted, and the first time in my life we shared the same space was at his funeral, which had been dreadfully uncomfortable. And not simply because he'd been surrounded by mourners convinced Steed had been a dreadfully unfilial son.
At least he'd have looked worse than you did in black, Lucius pointed out helpfully. Now run along and get ready. It's getting positively early. I'll expect you back here to tell me all about it in detail afterwards. And who knows, maybe you'll run into a handsome undersecretary of the Exchequer. Steed had determined that an official appointment at Whitehall was important enough, and his mourning far enough along, to warrant a lavender necktie with his gray suit, the note of color giving his confidence a very necessary boost. Regrettably, no necktie in his extensive collection could have fully prepared him for the meeting he'd just unwittingly attended. He'd expected some sort of... Well, he wasn't sure what he'd expected, to be quite honest, but it certainly hadn't been being shown into the office of Sir Eustace Wellington, Chief Sundowner of the Bureau of Unnatural Registration.
Ah, Mr. Bonnet, thank you for meeting me here, Wellington said.
He was a well-fed, jovial man,
albeit with a smile that didn't meet his eyes. "My condolences upon the loss of your father. He was a good man."
Steed could have mentioned that these condolences might have been more properly shared 2 years ago, when the man himself had actually died, or even that as Chief Sundowner, Wellington was most certainly aware that preternaturals were so repulsed by the presence of other preternaturals that Steed hadn't ever met his father in person, instead being moved around like a damn chess piece between residences and sometimes even cities to avoid any chance of contact. He did not mention either of these things.
"You are, of course, familiar with Burr," Wellington continued.
"Yes, of course. The Bureau of Unnatural Registration, or Burr as it was usually known, was the agency in charge of all werewolves, ghosts, vampires, and preternaturals within the borders of the Empire. Steed had no doubt they had a file on him, just as they did on everyone else, though he suspected it made for rather dry reading.
And you are, of course, a proud Englishman like your father, devoted to both queen and country."
"Yes," Steed replied. He didn't care for where this conversation was going. Then again, he hadn't cared for where it had started, and very much doubted he was going to like the bit in the middle either. He didn't.
Steed made his way to an empty antechamber, collapsing into one of the sturdy leather chairs, head and hands, as he worked to make sense of what he'd just learned. His father, a government agent? Worse yet, the expectation that as the heir to his father's preternatural status, Steed would also inherit his part in helping the government control the supernatural population of Great Britain. It was a role for which he was as unwilling as he was unsuited.
"Not an agent, I'm an idiot," he moaned.
The door opened, and Steed reflexively sat up straight.
"Sorry, I thought this room might be empty,"
said an unfamiliar face and voice. Steed stood and sketched a bow, manners ingrained enough to barely require his active participation.
"I'd be happy to share it with you, if you're seeking a quiet room. Dreadfully crowded around here, isn't it?"
"Like hundreds of worker ants scurrying about," the gentleman said, entering the room and closing the door behind him. He was roughly Steed's height, handsome, with a strong beard.
"Quite right. They're not nearly colorful enough for bees," Steed replied. "Not that there's anything wrong with all black," he added, having noticed that the gentleman's ensemble was itself strikingly monochrome.
"It can be a bit much," the stranger agreed, sounding amused.
"I like your necktie, though. I think it's the first spot of color I've seen since I entered this building."
He paused.
"Look, it's none of my business, but are you all right? You sounded rather upset before I came in here."
"Oh, you heard that," Steed said, now thoroughly embarrassed. "It was nothing, just some unpleasant news."
"So, not the..."
It was terribly gauche to mention mourning directly. That was the whole point of having so many bloody visual cues. But gesturing toward Steed's black armband managed to get the point across.
"Oh, no," Steed said reassuringly. "My father and I weren't close."
"Ah," the gentleman said, clearly unsure of how to respond to that.
"Fair enough."
Ridiculous to share any of this with some stranger, even one with kind eyes. Then again, maybe it was because he was a stranger that Steed asked, "Do you ever feel like you're being shoved into some role, trapped by other people's expectations of you?"
"And no one cares who you are, just what you are. And no one wants to let you just be?"
the man replied, their gazes meeting and holding, a strange current passing between them.
"Exactly,"
they said simultaneously. Of course, that was exactly when part of Steed's mind, hitherto lurking quietly in the back, finally put together the clues of large salt and pepper beard, darker complexion, and all-black wardrobe, and he realized precisely who it was he'd been speaking with. "Goodness, you're Lord Teach." Steed knew of him, of course. It had caused quite the stir when the Alpha and Beta of the London pack had vanished. The official story was that they decided, for health reasons, to take a sudden voyage of indefinite length abroad, which absolutely no one believed, leaving the pack in the care of Lord Edward Teach, said to have previously been running a pack somewhere in the colonies, but who had handily been in town just in time to succeed as London Alpha. However, all the paperwork was in order, and werewolves were notoriously tight-lipped about pack business with outsiders,
So despite the many, sometimes contradictory, rumors, officially everything was entirely above board. Lord Teach would have been noteworthy for his new status alone, but his good looks, dark complexion, and unfashionably large beard, which had become fashionable roughly a week after his arrival, would have made him a person of distinction in any crowd. Society had already determined him to be some sort of mysterious figure of the Byronic type, and multiple young ladies and gentlemen had allegedly set their caps for him. Steed might have made the connection more quickly, except that all of his information had been received second-hand from Lucius, prevented as Steed had been from mingling with society while in mourning. Of course, Lucius's intelligence had been wholly inadequate since it had not informed Steed that Lord Teach's eyes were a warm bronze and that he possessed a smile capable of releasing a flight of Lepidoptera in the viewer's stomach. It would have almost been enough to make Steed wonder about soulmates, had he possessed a soul. Said smile was currently aimed at Steed, and goodness, it made his lordship's eyes crinkle at the corners. It was absolutely dreadful, and Steed wanted to see it every day for the rest of his life. He was never telling Lucius. "You've heard of me," Lord Teach said, pleased. "Yes, of course I have. I'm Steed Bonnet, and it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance." Steed saw no spark of recognition at the mention of his own name. And as Lord Teach reached out a hand, Steed realized that no one had yet told the Alpha about Steed. One popular theory amongst members of the Royal Society for Metaphysics was that whatever it was the soul was composed of, vampires, werewolves, and ghosts, and those particular humans who had potential to become any of these, had more than the usual amount of it. Thus, because a preternatural possessed none of this quality, it caused something of a reaction when the two came into contact. But whether or not that particular theory was correct, Steed couldn't simply shake a werewolf's hand. At least, not if he didn't know. "Lord Teach," a man called out, rushing into the room. "And you," he growled at Steed. He was short and dourly dressed as Teach, and from their body language, Steed guessed that this was the new London Beta, a Mr. Israel Hands. "The idiot who knocked into me earlier. Why didn't you watch where you were going?"
"I was avoiding a ghost," Steed replied.
"Why didn't you?"
Lord Teach," Hans said,
addressing Lord Teach with a studied formality while still glaring at Steed out of the corner of his eye.
"We've already concluded our business here. We should begin our journey home. I've just heard rumors they've got a soul-sucker running around."
"The preferred term is preternatural," Steed said stiffly, finding himself developing a strong dislike for the Beta just as quickly as he seemed to be developing a fondness for the Alpha. "Just as you would likely prefer to not be referred to as a rabid little rat terrier of a man, no matter the accuracy of the description." Lord Teach looked Steed up and down again, his gaze filling Steed with an odd warmth.
"Preternaturally?" he asked, intrigued. "Never met one of those before."
He held out his hand once more. "We're not terribly common, no," Steed said. He stretched out his own hand gingerly, giving Teach every chance to change his mind.
"Edward, don't you dare," Mr. Hands began.
Their hands touched, and Lord Teach's face took on an expression of wonder, his irises changing back to a warm brown and his whole form seeming to soften slightly, in some indescribable way.
"That's extraordinary."
Steed could feel himself blushing. He'd heard his abilities called many things, but never extraordinary. Lord Teach lifted their combined hands to his mouth to give the back of Steed's hand a kiss, and Steed strongly suspected he was now bright red. Ignored by both of them, Mr. Hands made a noise indicative of a sudden attack of apoplexy.
"When is your mourning period over?"
the Alpha asked.
13 days, Steed said,
his mouth now gone a bit dry.
"Then I'll plan to call on you 14 days hence."
Steed forced himself to sit down, lest his pacing were a stripe in the parlor rug. He quite liked that rug, as he felt it really tied the design of the room together. Maybe he should invest in some sort of pacing rug for occasions such as this. Maybe he could have them weave in a design of the badminton's faces. He wore one of his favorite suits, a deep teal that seemed to glow in the lamplight, and he'd taken special care with his hair. Lord Teach had said he would visit, now that Steed was once again allowed to receive callers. He'd been quite emphatic about the matter, as Steed recalled, blushing slightly as he did so. Even if Steed wasn't sure what interest he might hold for a man such as Teach beyond his little parlor trick, surely he was a werewolf of his word. And Steed wasn't some wet-behind-the-ears boy to be lured into something as the precursor for some nasty trick or so that they might delight in his disappointment. Surely. Oh, God, he wasn't going to come, and then the next time they met it was going to be incredibly awkward, and they would certainly meet again because he was the London Alpha, and Steed would end up being pulled into this Burr nonsense. He just knew it. And Teach had probably already forgotten all about Steed and was off somewhere being wooed by any of the doubtless lovely and talented people currently attempting to do so. Steed had just gotten himself worked up into what he would have referred to as a bit of a tizzy, and what Lucius more accurately might have called halfway to insensibility, when a servant appeared in the doorway. "Lord Teach to see you, sir. Are you in?" Steed stood, straightening his outfit and checking himself in the nearest reflective surface to make sure his curls were just so. "Yes, yes, absolutely." Steed had never been more in his life. The end.